So what's your favorite? How did you go? If there's an answer, they're gonna find it. I think you'll have a great time here. I think you'll have a great time here.
So, hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I'm one half of that podcast, senior writer for Last Week Tonight with John Oliver, author of How to Fight Presidents, and recently hobbled boy, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say hello.
Hello, everybody. I'm Soren Bowie. I'm a writer for American Dad, and I'm very curious. You said hobbled, not hoveled, right?
What is hoveled?
I think you recently have become the owner of a hovel.
No. I don't think I've ever heard hovel conjugated in quite such a way.
Yeah. But like a housed person, yeah, or an unhoused person, like a hoveled person would be, I assume, someone who owns a hovel now.
That is how I would tell you, though. I would tell you on the podcast, good news, I'm hoveled. Mother, father. News from the coast, I'm hoveled. No,
well, how did you get hobbled? Is this permanent?
No, I was in your current stopping grounds last weekend. I was in Los Angeles for a wedding of our mutual friend, Ben Joseph. Shout out, Ben. Got me the job that I have. Simpsons writer, fantastic writer, great guy all around. Congratulations on your wedding. It was great. But I was running the morning of the wedding. And when I have like my main running shoes that I like a lot, but when I'm traveling and I don't want to have a big suitcase, I pack these thin, my trail runners, because they could sort of like roll into a ball and not take up a lot of space in a suitcase.
You can roll your shoe up?
You like fold them in half, really. They're like water shoes / trail runners.
Wow.
And they're great for travel, and they're great for my running purposes often. They're also incredibly thin and don't offer a ton of protection. And I was running through Los Angeles on the sidewalk, and there was like a square of sidewalk that was elevated about an inch above the sidewalk in front of it. And I full force ran my toe into that. And this was like mile two of a planned 5 mile run. And even if I had just decided like, oh, this run is over, I am
you're still
2.5 miles away from where I need to be. And I just like continued on my run and didn't get any of the benefits of like disassociating when I run like I normally do. I couldn't like escape and meditate in my brain or anything, because it's just like, yeah, this hurts, this continues to hurt, and every step I'm just like, there's not a version where this like where I get to my destination and it turns out I'm wrong and I didn't break my toe.
I know, like, that feeling, though, that like weight where you're like, maybe it's nothing,
maybe I just stubbed it and it's maybe and it's, this and it's okay. And like every
the
step, like,
you're still
no,
believing the magic of your body, where you're, yeah, like, and maybe it hurts really bad right now, but I'm different. Like, maybe this is okay.
Yeah, maybe if I continue to run on it, my foot will be like, oh, okay, he's really serious. All right, never mind, we're fine. But no, it's like it's just a totally fucked up toe. I can still walk on it. It just hurts all the time and looks terrible.
Oh, which toe is it?
The big one, a big right
Daniel.
Toe.
Daniel.
I know.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And so what are they? Did you go in? Did you get
no.
X-rayed? You just know it's broken.
I just know it's broken. And I took, as men do, took pictures of it and sent it to my dad and my brother. I'm like, look at this. And they're like, oh, yeah, I know. Us too, all the time.
Are you buddy taping it?
Nah.
You should.
I'm not doing a damn thing, man.
You got to.
It's
there's something very, like, a little moral story about it if you want.
Sure. I think there's something very strange about getting any kind of injury while traveling and not in my own space. I'm just like, oh, I'm in Los Angeles, this doesn't count. Yeah,
right.
I'm on West Coast time. This will be fine when I get back to New Jersey.
I can leave this here, and then when I come back, it will have been healed. So buddy taping is the process of taping your toe to the toe next to it, just so the toe isn't like It's like a cast, essentially. It's keeping it from moving around too much. Or splint, I mean. Yeah. You're splinting it with the other toe. Now, the benefit of doing that is that you don't end up like my father-in-law. Now, my father-in-law broke his toe at some point, didn't do anything about it, and over time, it just started to shift. Like, it started to shift so much that it started to sit over the toe next to it. Like, he was crossing his toes really hard, hoping for something. And it got to the point where it was so painful that just recently he had to have surgery on it and get it basically just gonna get his fucking foot sorted because it was in such bad shape. And with toes, I mean, like a small toe, I think you're fine. I think it eventually, even if that one doesn't grow back exactly the way it was supposed to, the bone doesn't fuse properly, it's not the end of the world. But your big toe is so important. I feel like and all the slacklining I have planned for us in the future, I want you to be on your game.
Yeah, for sure. If I'm bad at slackline, it's because I didn't get this toe sorted out. That's
yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So this is an artificial hurdle you've created for yourself. Yes, so that anytime you're bad at sports from here on out, you can be like, this darn toe.
Yeah, it was
keeping me from swinging my golf club right.
You should have seen me at that wedding just explaining to people. Normally, I would be dancing. I look very cool when I dance.
No.
You'd have seen me doing lots of dancing, but you have to understand, my toe. I couldn't.
You missed the best part of the wedding. Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
Daniel, I'm so sorry. You didn't get to dance.
It's fine. I danced in my heart, you know? Anytime I see a celebration of love. Oh, brother! Sorry, this wedding, I gotta tell you, was a tremendous amount of golden era, I'll say it, golden era internet comedy who's who. Because I knew Ben from both of us being comedy writers at the same time, and he has a lot of ties to College Humor and now Dropout, and there's like everybody that we knew and hung out with and saw as peers and then saw grow much more successful than us. They were at this wedding. It was just like a truly early 2000s internet comedy wedding, which was so fun to see a lot of those people. We all started out doing this at the same time as kids, essentially, and like watching each other's stuff and liking each other and working together and just like being excited for each other. We're all now doing mostly different things, and to come back and just like really annoyingly relive the glory days of our bizarre fortune as existing in this content bubble. It was great for me. And I have to assume great for my date, Shay. I assume she also wanted to hear about a bunch of 36 and 37 year olds talking about how big they were on the internet 15 years ago.
How they are. They were the kings of the internet royalty. Was Jeff Loveness there?
He was not. This wedding took place on the opening weekend of the Ant-Man movie that he wrote.
Oh.
So I imagine he was busy.
But you did get to see a bunch of people that I haven't seen in a very long time. Dan Gurwitch, I assume, was there.
Yeah, Gurwitch was there. And Caldwell. Chase Mitchell was there.
Okay. And was Pat Castle there?
Sure was. It was a great old time. And there's something very... So Shay, who I brought with me to this wedding, I've known her for like 5 years, and she has known me as a New York-based television writer. It hadn't occurred to me that I had not filled her in on any of the internet comedy, this huge part of my life. Yeah, not that like... I mean, like certainly I will say like, yeah, I used to work for a comedy website. It was called Cracked, and I had a lot of friends from that. It never occurred to me at any time to be like, oh, by the way, we were like recognizable on camera talent just by sheer force of budget, where we all the writers and people who ran the site became on camera talent because we couldn't afford actors for a long time. And as a result of that, we became recognizable to a very large and very specific type of audience. And just watching her get all of this information in real time was very striking and weird. And like, it's always very humbling to have to explain to someone like, no, I used to, people used to like to see me.
I used to be people, a big deal.
People would like clap when I came out. People paid to wait in line and then see us talk about things. You have to believe me. That's why Gerwich and I are crying right now, thinking about our former lives as internet heartthrobs.
It was certainly a time. Like we came up at the exact right time of the internet. That's all. Yeah. It was like we got to enjoy it. And
yeah,
I will forever treasure that. I don't want to go back.
No. It was fun to talk with Sam Reich, who is the head of College Humor and now Dropout, and just like a brilliant person I've always respected in this field and still do. And he was talking about what a weird period this was. And he was like, because he's a guy who's like one foot in the creative world and one foot in the business world. And he was like, yeah, even 15 years ago when we were doing this, it never made sense. There was never any money in this. They just let us do it for 8 or 10 years or so. And everyone seemed so convinced. I mean, like all the higher up muckety mucks seemed convinced, like, yeah, we're going to pour money into this. And then something profit. Yeah. And all of us creatives, I think, were like, I don't know, but thanks for the money. Thanks for letting us do it for as long as you did.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we weren't getting paid very much, but we...
No, yeah, that's right.
we were mostly doing it because we were so in love with the fame of it. That, like, there were circumstances where you would be, like, hanging out with someone who, outside of that world, and then you would get recognized at an airport or at a hospital or, like, wherever the fuck you were. And... Yeah. The person next to you would be like, what just happened?
Yeah.
And you could be like, well, you see, it's not real fame, but I'm internet famous. Yeah. And then there's a certain cachet that goes along with that.
I have nieces and nephews who are going to be close enough or getting old enough that at some point they might just say like, hey, why does Uncle Daniel have a Wikipedia page? Oh, don't worry about that. It's not real. It doesn't count. It was an accident. Yeah. It never should have happened. It'll never happen again.
My son found a action figure of me. He was like, why are you keeping this toy from me, basically? And I was like, oh, that's dad's toy.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, can I play with it? And I was like, no. No, that's...
It's a limited edition.
Yeah. Why are you on the box? I don't know. It's a joke. It's nothing.
It's a collector's item. Oh, so you're going to save it and sell it? No. It has no value.
No one will want this. Yeah, it was a different time. I'm glad that you got to relive some of it, though, that you got to like go through it again with some of those guys, because I do miss them.
I miss them, too. And I think just like a mix of nostalgia and wedding goggles, just being around this crew of people, and someone floated the idea of bringing back After Hours, and at that wedding I'm like, that, you know what, that could be fun. I do remember. I am now remembering only the best parts of it, so that could be pretty chill. Let's think about it. And then I get home like, what the fuck, no. I gotta bring outfit options to a diner and be up past 9:30. No, thank you.
And outside of your job, you gotta write a four-pronged essay.
Yeah.
about some pop culture thing. You gotta make it up. You gotta like, and not only like, you come up with the idea, and then you gotta do all the research. You gotta research.
And I think a modern After Hours, if I like genuinely try to write what I think about movies or TV now, it'll be like what I've settled into, which is, movies are fine. It's fun. Who cares? Don't think about it too hard. I love this movie. It was loud and big. Shut up.
I agree.
Isn't it secretly terrifying? No.
No.
We made all that up. None of it's secretly terrifying. Disney's fine. Marvel's great.
They're just trying their best, man.
Batman's good. Shut up.
Oh, there was a time early on when I started at Cracked, and you and I had gone to, it may have been somebody's birthday, but we went to the Griffin, and we were there with a lot of these guys that you're talking about. And girls too. I think Emily was there and some other people. But we
very
sat there,
horribly called it internet comedy super drinks.
Yeah, it was.
And I know that because someone at this wedding was like, should we recreate that picture? Do we have everyone?
Oh, no.
No, we did not have everyone.
But we were doing drinks there and just ball washing the whole time, like really talking each other up. Because we thought we were, like, this was the beginning. Like, this is our trajectory. We are now going to be the not ready for primetime players. Like, when they didn't know what they had. When they were at SNL early on, they didn't know what the fuck they had.
Right. We're all trying to be present and struggling in this industry, making our stupid comedy videos. But all of us, to a person in the back of their head, is like, remember this, because when we write the oral history, when people want the oral history of the golden era of internet comedy, they're gonna want specific quotes. We're living it right now. Surely someone will interview us for the book later.
Yeah, we even had joked on the day of like, man, if this restaurant blew up, like, that's the end of internet comedy. I was like, no, it's not. No, it's not. Wait, did Michael go to the wedding?
No.
Okay.
I think I was the only cracked person there.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense. The internet royalty was really over at College Humor.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that you had a good wedding. I'm really, I genuinely am sorry that you didn't get to dance.
I know. It's okay. I mean, it's not. I like dancing at weddings, but.
I love it.
Yeah.
Love it. But I want to tell you about my weekend as well.
All right.
As you know, we had COVID, my family.
That's right. You were going to go skiing to quarantine in the mountains like a genius.
Well, not even skiing, because skiing requires being around other people. We went up to the mountains and we stayed in a little cabin, an Airbnb, and we sledded. And we sledded the shit out of this mountain.
How long can you sled?
Great question, Dan. We sledded for 7 hours.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Fortune shined on us this day that we decided to go sledding. First of all, the house that we stayed in had sleds. We thought we were going to have to buy sleds. We're like, oh no, there's sleds here. We all gathered in the car. We're like, okay, the plan is we will go sled for a couple hours. We'll come back. Gilly will take her nap. And then after that, we'll make a decision. We'll see if it's too dark or if it's too cold. On the way up there, Gilly falls asleep in the car. I'm like, oh, this is really going to ruin her nap schedule. But it ended up being the best thing in the world because she slept on the way up. We got there and parked. She was dead asleep. Ronan and I got to go out and do some sledding together while Colleen stayed in the car. Then we switched off. I stayed in the car with her for a little bit. And eventually she woke up. And then we had the whole day. I mean, there was no longer like this intermission in the middle that we needed for her. The day was ours. Like we had a lunch with us. I grew up sledding. I mean, I could just sled down my driveway when I was a little kid because the driveway was super long and like cars couldn't get up it in the winter. And suddenly I was like, I could do all of that again. And we sledded for so, so long. And they were into it the entire time.
I have not gone sledding. I couldn't guess how long ago it was since I've been sledding.
Yeah.
The idea of it now seems not fun to me. I know I loved it when I was a kid, and we mm-hmm. would go down the street from our house. There was an elementary school, and behind the school, there was some hills leading into the woods. So we would, and that was very fun, go down this big-ish hill directly into the woods and like try to avoid trees and pretend you're doing like Star Wars yes. asteroid navigation stuff, and then inevitably sled directly into a creek, ruin your shoes, go home. Cry to mom. Yeah. And I definitely remember doing a lot of it, but the idea of it now seems like maybe I could do two runs down the hill and then I would be like, all right, I no longer want to carry a sled up this hill anymore. So I'm going to go home and do the soup part of a snow day.
But let me sweeten the deal by saying not only are you carrying the sled, you're also carrying a child.
Yeah. Okay. That is what was missing when I was younger, was like an extra 70 pounds. How heavy are children?
No, not 70. My son is 7 and he's about 48 pounds.
Okay. The child I'm describing has a very serious problem. Just massive thing. Feet.
We really have been meaning to take him in. We don't know what it is. We think it's glandular. I do want to talk to you about sledding, because I did want to ask, when was the last time you went sledding? In my own mind, I clocked it at about two decades ago was maybe the last time I sledded.
I'm trying to think that, like, there's a chance that someone in college as a lark was like, let's do it, let's go sledding. But even that, I think I would have said no, because at that point, like, all right, does anyone still own sleds in college? No, I'm not going to buy a sled for this. So it had to have been high school or middle school. I feel like the snow activity for me, as soon as it became an option when it snowed, I was going down the street with my buddies, shoveling people's sidewalks and driveways for money. That was the thing that I did and looked forward to with snow. I was an earner, Soren.
Okay. Well, by the
remember that? Remember when we used to build things in this country and a kid could earn a living?
You're shoveling snow, man.
Building an empire.
You're building snowbanks. We in college, and actually in high school, we took sledding to like another level, where we would take a big plastic sled, you know, a big rectangular plastic sled. We would bolt skis to the bottom of it.
Jesus.
And then take it up to the actual ski mountain at night. And so you got to look out for the snow cats, which are like grooming the trails. But other than that, there's nobody out there, but it's also dark. Yeah. And if you have a moon, then it's great, because the moon actually reflects pretty well off the snow. So you can see contours and stuff. But you hike up the ski mountain to like not like maybe a third of the way up. And then they always have long runouts, because people are not good skiers, and you need that for legal reasons. And we would just get on these things, and it's basically like straight lining it on your skis, but even faster, because you're tucked down on a sled. And you're they do set up some ropes and stuff at night, so you got to stay, like, you lay down like you're on a luge, so you don't get decapitated. But you are just flying, like you fly on these sleds. If you could have the best gloves in the world, and if you put your hands out, like, you will shred them on just the snow. And we would, it was terrifying and incredible, because we were like 16, 17, so we're like, this is the best thing we can possibly be doing with our lives, because we're gonna live forever.
Yeah,
and. It was great. And so that was my last experience with sledding. This was decidedly slower than that. But man, sledding, I cannot believe is a sanctioned thing. It is so dangerous, especially with children.
I guess there's no 100% safe way to do it. It's you're always just you, a piece of plastic, and gravity. And that's it.
And the plastic is not, there's no protection to it at all. And you're putting the end of your spine right on it. And then you're like, I'm going to go over those jumps. And it's like, with inevitably, in whatever little sled hill that has been carved out, some bumps start to develop. And people get launched off these bumps and then just come down on their asses and like compact their spines. And if you're on an inner tube, it's even worse, because you're going to get sucked underneath it. You'll get like a leg in it. You get bounced on it, and then you come down in the snow. Like, I saw, like it was a short amount of time. Over the course of that entire day that I was there, I saw so many people walk away with injuries.
Yeah.
That I was like, what are we, should we be doing this, everybody?
I certainly remember sledding as a kid, and it just being an inherently dangerous and painful thing that we would make more dangerous and painful, where it was like, all right, we all went down a few times, we all got some cuts and bruises, but that doesn't thrill us anymore, so let's see how many people we can fit on one sled. And let's see if that does anything for us.
It changes from thrilling to terrifying so fast. We watched other people. There's this one hill that Ronan just wanted to go watch on, because everybody that did it ended up at the bottom, like laying there for a second, being like, I just need to collect myself, because that was really painful. But we watched these people go down this 45 degree ice skating rink. It's just solid ice.
Jeez.
And with bumps all over it. And you would watch people go down, they'd be having a great time, And then all of a sudden their sled would just take a little bit of a turn and it would head towards the trees. And everyone at once is like, that person's going to die. And yeah. then when they didn't die, miraculously, everyone would be like, oh, I guess it's fine. Let's just keep going. It's not like that was a good warning. Let's not do that again. It's everybody's just going to keep going. And we did see people hit trees and stuff. And it was even Ronan now, I feel a little bad. The first one I took him pretty high up. We got on the sled together and we hit a bump that was so big that we lost the sled and came down on our asses and it hurt. And he was like, my back hurts. And I was like, well, yeah, that's part of sledding. But today he was like, it was like, my back hurts. And I was like, oh, okay. We might have done some damage in there.
Yeah. We would surf on our sleds when the thrills started to dry up. And I was like, what'll happen if I stood on this and tried to hit a rock? I think something interesting would happen. Like, I'm right. It's weird.
Only one way to know. Yeah. I do remember sledding through, just finding like a route through the woods and being like, well, if I just steer around every single one of these trees, I'll be fine.
Yeah.
Well, good luck. But we put Gilly on a little saucer sled. We found that those actually do better on the bumps and we could just let her go on those. We did kind of like these gentle slopes first and then we put her on something a little steeper and steeper until she was game the whole time. And she was doing really great. There was one section that was a pretty steep slope. And then what it did is it kind of dog-legged right, had a bank and then dog-legged. And then it just kind of tucked off very steeply into these woods. And clearly other people had gone through there. So like it was compacted. All the snow was very, very packed down. So you could just like coast off to the right and it was steep immediately.
Yeah.
So I sent her down thinking she'll just get to the bank at the other end. But part of me, as soon as I let her go, I was like, well, just in case, I'm going to run down there. And so the early part of it, it's a little gentler and I could run faster than her. And I got down just a little bit ahead of her. And then she started to gain momentum. She came up next to me and then she started to make the turn and she was backwards and everything. And she started to make the turn towards death, basically, towards this steep section that would have just carried her off into the woods and she would have been a wolf's baby at that point. And as she starts to do that, I'm like running next to her and I'm like losing ground on her. And so I just make this dive and I catch the sled and I catch her leg as she starts to tip over the edge of this drop and grab her and pull her back up. And these people who are sitting there were like, whew. She was almost gone.
Right.
I know.
I feel like I can place myself in your brain at that time as you're making this dramatic dive. Your brain is telling you, you know, we didn't have to do this, right? We didn't need to put her on a saucer and shove her down a hill. This would be a really stupid way to lose your daughter to the woods. This was avoidable, unforced error.
I would have that night been sleeping in bed being like, why did you do that? she only wanted to make a snowman. You were the one who was insistent that like, no, sledding is fun. Do this thing. She did end up enjoying it a lot. She had
That's
a lot
good.
Of fun.
I'm glad.
I saved her from dying.
I think
everything ended up okay.
Yeah.
Except
and I
for
think
maybe Ronan's spine. We'll see, I guess.
Yeah. And I do know it's important to you and it seems like an important and cool thing to get kids excited about being outside and doing outside things. So it's good that this is a mostly positive experience for them, except for Ronan and his 40-year-old man back. However that happened, it still hurts 2 days later.
Yeah, that was actually that. When you say it's good to get them outdoors, that my fear with going skiing or snowboarding or sledding or anything in the snow with my children is they had never experienced snow. And I know what it was like for me as a kid, is I was annoying to my parents. They would take me to the ski mountain with grand plans. So like, we're going to get him on skis when he's two. And I just sit there and cry the whole time because I was cold. And I was like, I don't want to be doing that. I'm overwhelmed. And I knew that they would probably be in the same boat. But they were so game. They were such great company the entire time. We got their snow. They were getting wet. They're getting a little bit wet, but they had on like some good snow gear. They were sticking with it. Gilly's not used to wearing mittens or anything like that, but she was doing her best. Mm-hmm. And the entire
time.
Listen,
Gilly, you never get used to wearing mittens. It's an abnormal thing. You're not going to age into it. It's bad. It's stupid. I don't know what happened.
Her just like staring at her thumb in it and being like, well, all the other ones are together and this one's not. And I don't like that feeling.
And we have glove technology. I'm sure of it. We've sorted this out. Why are we still doing it this way?
But they were so game and so cool the entire time. I mean, they never at any point were like, I'm too cold. I'm wet. Like all the things I would have done as a child, they did not give a shit. They were just having fun in the snow. And I was like, okay, yes, now we can probably go skiing or snowboarding. It would be okay.
I think I might just not have the stomach for it anymore. I went skiing once in my life, and that was I did in college. So no sledding, but did go skiing once and went down several times. I wasn't a good skier, obviously. But I also reached a certain point. And there's a lot of times where you fall down when you're skiing, and that's okay, and that's part of it. And you're like, this is what I signed up for. And then a few hours into it, I remember being at the top of a hill and being like, well, if I ski, there's a chance I'll fall down, and I don't want to do that anymore today. So that's it. That's like I've 3 hours is my limit of being okay with falling down, and then I reach a certain point where it's like, no, none of that. Now I will sit and be cozy somewhere. And I imagine sledding would be the same thing, where I get a full belly of energy, and then a couple hours in, I'm like, no, I get it. And sometimes it hurts, and I'm too old to be in unforced pain.
Yeah, I'll stick with my generous.
Yeah, I'll stick with my normal everyday pain of being alive. Thank you very much. The uncontrollable pain.
I was done. I mean, I was done sooner than 2 hours in. I was like, I'm ready. Like, all right, whenever you guys want to go home, I'm good. But they were
Gilly, so you into feeling it. Another nap coming on or what?
They were so into it that we just kept going, and I kept marching her up the hill. And she'd do this thing where, you know, she's got limited vocabulary. So she'd get to the bottom and she'd go so far. I'll send you a video of her. And like, she's really just like cooking, and she's going pretty far by the end. And she gets to the bottom. You could still hear her laughing. And then I'd get down to like grab her and bring her back up. And she'd be like, one more time. And I was like, yeah, listen, as many times as you want. You don't have to keep it. This isn't like one of those things where it was so thrilling that you're like, yeah, it's thrilling, but you only get to do it once. This isn't like bungee jumping. Like, you get to keep doing this as many times as you want. But every time she gets to the bottom, she'll be like, one more time. And I'm like, yes, 100 more, whatever you want. I will. I'm your Sherpa today.
Do you, so when you get back to the cabin, what do you guys do there? Because I'm curious about, like, that's not their space. Are they very excited to be in a new space? Is there like, does the house come with new games to play? Because I've been staying in a pre-furnished house for the last year, and it's been exciting for the niece and nephew to come over to look at these like ancient board games that came with the house, that are just like, it's all new, it's all unfamiliar to them, and it's very exciting to just like open up some board game called Payday that is a Monopoly ripoff from the fucking 20s or something.
Yeah, they went nuts. As soon as we got there, they were bouncing off the walls because they were so excited. First of all, this place had a loft that was basically a kid's loft. It had a ping pong table in it, a small one, so Gilly could even see over it. And then there were every type, so like all these books that were seemed perfectly catered to them. My son loves this thing called Dog Man, which is by the creators of Captain Underpants. Okay. And they had a Dog Man book. They had a 5-minute stories for Winnie the Pooh up there for Gilly. Like all the stuff that there was this little bed that was just the perfect size for her. There's a keyboard, like an adult keyboard, but then also a tiny little piano. All the things that they could have wanted were in this place. And it was great. It was really fun playing with them and just letting them play on their own. But then when we got back from sledding, they were very exhausted and they weren't in the mood to like chase ping pong balls all down from the loft, like come down the stairs, grab them, go back up.
Sure.
So instead we sat in the
Sorry,
cabin.
Sorry, Dad. I cannot play ping pong with you right now. Come on. I'm ready to go. Dad, please.
I'm good.
Five minutes, Dad, please.
They were really excited by the prospect of building a fire. So we built a fire. We sat there and watched the fire for a while, and we had hot chocolate with a marshmallow in it, and they were way into that. And just being in this cozy house in their long underwear, like, they got it. They got it immediately. Yeah. They knew this is fun. This is like, you know, we're not doing anything in particular right now, but just relaxing in our long underwear with a fire going and hot chocolate is great.
That is awesome.
After a hard-earned day, you know, like,
yeah,
they went out and they did it, and now they're inside and they're like, yes, this is okay. I get it. This is fun. Yeah.
Did Colleen enjoy sledding?
I don't know. I think so.
You guys aren't really talking anymore. That's right.
She's always game. Like, and she, when she's doing the sledding, I think she's really into it. But there were definitely times, you know, it's just as a parent, there's so much else that you have on your mind at the time where you're like, all right, are they warm enough? Do they get enough food? Is there going to be a meltdown any second? Like, you're trying to just, it's all preventative measures at that point. And so like, you're working on a bunch of different things. And there was a point where I was building snowmen with Ronan, and she was just like, listen, the face is fine. We need to eat something. These children need to eat.
I'm always amazed and impressed by the amount of things parents bring with them everywhere with really young kids. And not even just like safety things, but just like going to brunch with my entire family a couple weeks ago, the sheer amount of entertainment options my brother has for his kids, which like, here's this coloring book, here's this other thing, here is this story, here are some snacks that you're gonna like, here's like some bonus treats. I'm just like, man, that's just a lot of a lot of preparation for brunch, as opposed to me, who was just like, all right, am I combing my hair today or not? All right, I'm ready. Let's go.
You're like, oh, you're cold? Okay, I have another layer for you. Put that on.
Yeah.
Oh, you got some marinara on it? Okay, well, I have the exact same type of layer right here that I'll now put on you. Oh, Gilly Peter pants? Okay, well, we've got new socks. We've got new underwear. We've got new tights. Like, just even going up there in the car, the car's packed. We're going there for 3 days. Like, and it's
everything
fucking
you do has a suitcase at that point.
It's true. It's very difficult to travel. I don't actually understand how people with even three kids, let alone like more than that, I don't know how they do it, because logistically, it doesn't make sense to me. You have too many suitcases to carry for even 10 feet.
Yeah.
Like, you're in a situation where you're like dependent on other people for help. Strangers, the kindness of strangers.
When I flew to this wedding, I had my carry-on bag, my laptop case, and my like suit bag. And I was like, oh boy, this is so much. Look at all this stuff. And that's just me like being one tiny person.
Yeah. I was blown away when we packed the car, because I was like, we're not even bringing the issue is usually like a cooler, that we're putting a cooler in the car and like, oh no, we're not going to have as much space. No, with children, they take up so much space in your life. There's just so much that there needs to be accounted for with them.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was fun. It was really, really cool. They had such a good time, and that made us have a very good time. And we also, it was such a good idea from Colleen. We were planning to go to San Diego that weekend, and we were going to see people, and we had to cancel that, and everybody was bummed. And then Colleen was like, what if we just disappeared into the mountains? And like, what if we just went up, we got a cabin by ourselves, we sledded by ourselves, and it ended up being so much fun.
I'm so glad for you. That's awesome. There's no better end result of the entire family having COVID, I don't think. You know, like this is a really nice silver lining to a bummer of a situation.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And it was her. I mean, she found the place.
Yeah.
She was like, I think that there's good, I looked it up, there's really good sledding around here. She knew the places to hit up. The second day was actually even better than the first. We sledded again, by the way. We sledded again the very next day. And we went to this place where nobody was, where basically we had fresh tracks, whatever that can be for sledding. Mm-hmm. But we found it was a campground, and it was a very, very steep kind of hilly campground. And we found all these great pockets where no one had ever been, where you're just, it was way easier on your butt the entire time. And it felt very much like Calvin and Hobbes, where it was just you in the woods. And it was like, oh, no one else lives here. It's fine. It's just you.
Yeah.
And it was so great. Like, I dare say, Daniel, magical.
Wow. Dare he?
Yeah. Great weather. No wind. Beautiful sun. It was warm. It was like 52 degrees. And we're out there just sledding and making snowmen.
Yeah. Anyway, what's this podcast about?
Oh, it's about my children, I think.
Good. Good.
Is that right? It's about us catching up, Dan. That's what we're doing.
That's right. That's right.
I found out about your wedding where you were maybe a mile away from my house. And you found out about me touching snow, like feeling that little slice of Americana that I miss so much.
I'm curious if this becomes a thing for Ronan and Gilly where it is like added to their mental Rolodex of activities to do, where if they'll wake up one day and say, I would like to go sledding now. Because at that age, you might not understand what a production it is to make that happen.
I think it's possible. We're now trying to, because it was so easy for us to get up there and back down, we're like really trying to figure out how we squeeze this into another weekend. It's a lot of work. It's very stressful.
Yeah.
But the end result is like, oh, that was so much fun. But we're like, and also my biggest fear is that I did get them secondhand, but I got them snow gear. So I got them snow pants, jackets and stuff, boots. They are going to grow out of that stuff in about 3 months.
Yeah.
There's no way they're staying small enough. And so we're like, how do we maximize these things that we got? We got to go up again. We have to go back.
Yeah. That's a season pass to Six Flags as it gets close to the end of the season and you only went once. You're like, I gotta make this work. This is too much money. I have to justify it.
I don't even want to ride the Riddler again, but I have to go.
It would be financially stupid of me not to go. Hurt my neck on these stupid rides.
But yeah, it was really nice to touch snow again.
Good. Good for you. Nope, I have nothing else to say.
Okay.
Let's
end the podcast.
Anything else from this wedding? Yeah, we can end the podcast.
Yeah, we're fine. I'll do it. One second. Well, that's our podcast. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow Daniel at DOB_Inc. You can follow me, Soren, at Soren_LTD. You can follow Quick Question at QQ_Soren and Dan. You can also interact with any of those three. I mean, presumably. I don't think Dan will probably interact with you. I do occasionally. I realize that I way more interact with negative comments than positive ones, which is not good reinforcement for the people in my life. I'll try and be better about that. And you can email the show at qqwithsorenanddaniel@gmail.com. We have a sound engineer, producer, an editor in Gabe Harder. You won't find him anywhere. We also have a Patreon. It's Patreon.com/QuickQuestion. And if you found yourself listening to the beginning of this podcast and you're like, oh, that theme song is really, really good. Well, that's by Me Rex. And you can find their music at merex.bandcamp.com. That's all. Goodbye. Daniel. Oh, Daniel.
Oh, fuck. What?
Did you have something you want to say to me?
Soren, I really enjoyed this chat with you. I love all of our conversations. It's so great catching up. I miss you. You're a brother to me and a father to me. And one day, hopefully a son to me.
I was going to carve out a little time to say something just as confusing, but also heartwarming, which I just want to say, I really enjoy just talking to you, man. I'm sorry that I didn't get to see you this weekend.
That's okay. We'll have plenty of time. I'm going to beep, 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 breaking news. Beep, 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 beep. I'm going to be in Los Angeles for the entire month of June so we can hang out a lot and plan some fun podcast stuff.
I'm so excited to have you here. That's so exciting. Do you want to babysit my children?
100%, yes.
Okay, I thought you might. Great. That's great. That's
great.
Are
you pounding your chest right now?
No, I was fixing my mic. Oh. All right.
Mike.
I've got a quick question for you, alright. I wanna hear your thoughts, wanna know what's on your mind. I've got a quick question for you, alright. The answer's not important, I'm just glad. What's your favorite? How did you get? I think you'll have a great time here. I think you'll have a great time here.